So that is a quick look at some of our favorite devices, technologies from the first half of 2012. Coming up later this year.
All right. 2012. You're leaving that in, Claire.
All right. So that Geared Up goes way back. Welcome to Geared Up, brought to you by National Car Rental. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
We have got a fun show today. Andrew and I are going to be talking about our favorite gadgets of 2018 so far.
We're halfway through the year.
Absolutely.
Which is ridiculous.
It feels like CES was just yesterday.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, we've got some gadgets. We've got some stuff we've been using this year that we need to address.
That's right.
Some props to.
Including some things that you and I have been testing that most people don't have yet.
Correct.
So all of that's coming up this week. Thanks for tuning in. So let's dive in with our
first
gadget. I want to talk about your new car.
My car, my new car, the Tesla Model 3.
Absolutely. Okay. So this thing fascinates me because it really is a consumer electronics device in a lot of ways. It's like your computer.
It's a drivable gadget.
Exactly. Okay. So let's explain this for people who have not been following it, who may just merely see Teslas whiz by them quietly on the highway, but have never been in one, don't follow Tesla.
Okay.
Because that actually does describe me. I've been in one and actually had the crud scared out of me by it was an insane mode
ludicrous.
It was
mode.
Actually, I think it was in the insane mode.
Okay.
Era. But at any rate, I've experienced them, but I'm not an aficionado. So what is the Model 3?
Model 3 is Tesla's attempt at making a mass market vehicle. So the first Tesla that was released roughly 10 years ago or so was prohibitively expensive. Six figures, high six figures. Roughly like 200,000, like, so maybe not high six figures. Then they released the Model S, roughly 90,000. It can go up above from there. Then the Model X, again, 90 to 100,000. So when I say mass market, you know, there's obviously cheaper cars out there. You can buy a Kia for several thousand dollars, but the Model 3 starts at roughly $35,000. That entry level model is not available to purchase yet because Tesla always starts with like the high model. This time they actually started from the middle model, then the high model next, and then they'll eventually get to the entry level model. So I have a mid-tier model, Model 3. I picked it up roughly a month ago.
So this is the Tesla for the rest of us.
That's right. Yeah.
Or for most of the rest of us.
For most of, yeah. I think they will be making an even cheaper Tesla vehicle, you know, in the next 10 years or so. They will make another model that's even cheaper than this.
I will say, even at $30,000, this is more expensive than any car I've ever bought.
Well, there you go. Mr. Don't want to be seen as elitist.
Man, Mr. 2007 Camry, man.
Right. I'm
going to drive that thing to my grave.
Your car is 11 years old.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
That's this is why you don't have Bluetooth built in.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So we are talking about two different worlds here, but
okay.
I am very interested in your world, Andy.
Okay.
What are the main selling points of the Tesla Model 3 so far for you?
For me, yeah, I would have to say. Speaking for myself,
yes.
Number one was I wanted the autonomous driving technology. It's cool. Like when I'm driving, especially here in Seattle, this traffic, it's not a challenge to drive in stop and go traffic, but it's just exhausting on your brain just to, you know, that stop and go. Having technology that can just take that away from you is very freeing.
So autonomy is a continuum in many ways. Everything from hitting a button and having it parallel park for you.
Correct.
To some complex autonomous driving like the Uber self-driving vehicles that we experienced in Pittsburgh. The GeekWire team was in Pittsburgh and it was crazy to see them just driving down the street with somebody behind the wheel but not actually steering. What level of autonomy are you at in the Tesla Model 3? What are you using it for?
I mostly use it for freeway driving because that's what's actually recommended for safety. The Tesla says the Model 3 is equipped and sells with all the technology needed for full autonomy, which is at your house, tell it where you want to go, or it'll just check your calendar and just take you to whatever
just start
your destination.
Driving.
Right. You get in, it'll just take you to what's on your calendar. However, that level of autonomy is currently against the law. So it can't do it. Even though it's equipped to do it, it can't legally do it yet. So they recommend you just use it on the freeway.
So you've been doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And you're here to tell the tale.
I'm here to tell the tale. I mean, it's safe. Like, when you think about it, as human beings, we have two eyes that face forward and we have brains that get easily distracted. The car has 8 cameras all around it and has sensors as well. So it can see in multiple directions, which I physically can't do, but it also doesn't get distracted. It's focused on one thing, which is driving. And right now, again, it's interesting because it's like a phone. I've had the car for about a month, and in that time, I've had two software updates that make the self-driving better and also other features in the car better. So the car today does more than it did when I picked it up. For example, the latest software update allows me to, from my app, tell it the maximum speed that the car can go. So if I'm lending the car, I don't know, my friend's going to grab the car and head to the store because I have a party and I can't leave, grab my car, go grab more chips or something. I can go into my app and say, don't let this go over 50 miles an hour, because I know between here and the store, there's no reason to go any faster than that. That wasn't available when I picked the car up. So Tesla is actually, through time, making the car better.
I got to say, I'm looking at a picture of you here buffing
the
car. Yeah, on your Instagram. Yeah. Follow Andrew, A-N-D-R-U, on IG.
I'm just at Andrew on Instagram. That's me.
So this is a beautiful car.
Thank you.
I have to say, you've got, it's kind of a gray slate silver.
That is
it's not silver.
Midnight silver metallic.
Sorry.
Midnight silver. So they have silver and they have midnight silver. So I got the dark silver, sir.
Wow. So it's a beautiful car. It actually is very similar to the color of my 2007 Toyota Camry.
We're on the same wavelength.
But still very, very much better. I like the shape of it, the size of it. How roomy is it inside?
It's actually very roomy, and it even gives you a feel of it being even more roomy than it is, because the entire, like, you have the windshield that goes all the way up, but then the entire roof all the way to the back is just glass. Mm. It's like you're in a helicopter or something. Like, you can see the entire sky.
Gas mileage?
There's no gas.
Oh.
So there's no gas mileage because there's no gas.
Oh my God. I can't believe I just asked that. I'm tempted to say strike that from the podcast.
No, we're leaving that.
But I think that my idiocy deserves to be broadcast. That is the boneheaded comment of the week. And, you know, really, it's a high bar when I'm around.
There you go.
Gas mileage. Oh my God.
You plug it in. As you can see in that picture, actually, it is plugged in on the right hand side. A full battery. So again, the entry level $35,000 version will have a smaller battery than this one. I believe that one will get around 270 miles. Mine gets about 350 miles on a full battery.
Yeah, I'm just do the rest of the show, Andrew, because I'm like, I mean, really, I just lost all credibility.
Hey,
let's be honest.
You didn't have much.
It was, like I said, not much left. All right. So this is really something that you would recommend, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, if you, obviously, like you said, though, in all honesty, $35,000 is still a lot of money for a car. You know, when you compare it to $90,000 or $100,000, it is a lot cheaper, but $100,000 is a lot of money.
It's a down payment on a house.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if you're looking forward to, you know, autonomous driving and, you know, just the future of motor vehicles in general, this is that. You know, the other thing, like, it only has the one display in the center. Like, a friend of mine got into the car and he was like, you basically just have an iMac in the center of your vehicle and nothing else, which is interesting.
So I know from riding in your prior car, which did you sell?
The Volt. The Volt was leased.
Oh.
And the Volt was a combo of battery and gas. So when your battery ran out, which was about 50 miles, it would kick over to a gas powered electric motor.
That, by the way, that's exactly what I was thinking about when I asked about the gas mileage. But anyway,
Okay.
No, I know from writing in your Volt that it had essentially Apple CarPlay.
That's correct.
So what does this have?
That does not have CarPlay. And that's the thing I miss the most.
I was going to say.
So the Tesla, in pretty much every way, is a technology advance when you're driving, when you're using it, listening to music. It's got built-in LTE. It has its own LTE dedicated signal. So all your radio is actually streaming. So you can request, you know, pretty much like any music store, request what you want to hear, play 80s songs or play, you know, music by this artist, whatever. What sucks is the built-in music streaming service in the car is Slacker. Have you heard of Slacker?
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard of Slacker? It's probably
long
been a while.
Time ago.
Slacker's still around because Tesla signed an exclusive deal with them. So if you buy a Tesla vehicle in Europe, you get Spotify. Here in the US, you get Slacker.
So it doesn't sync with your favorites on anything else.
On anything. Right. Now you can make a Slacker account on the website and sync stuff with that, but it's not syncing to your other stuff that you're probably using. So that's one strike against it. Number two, there's no CarPlay. There's no Android Auto. So basically, you're going back to the time where you Bluetooth from your phone to your car. If you want to listen to music from your phone, like Apple Music, Spotify, whatever, the only thing you can do is next and previous and pause. You can't pull up on the screen your playlist or an artist or anything like that. So you have to ask Siri, you have to, hey Siri, and hope Siri hears you and tell the phone because there's no CarPlay.
Yeah, that's not good. So what's the deal there? Shouldn't Elon Musk be doing something to make it better for people who?
Of course he should. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I don't know. Like, is there a weird thing where Tesla doesn't want to partner with Apple and Google because they're in competition with them? I don't know.
I'm sure.
Or, I mean,
but still,
even Spotify, like that's the ubiquitous one everyone uses. Spotify and Apple Music are the two biggest ones. Why can't I just tie into that?
Yeah, it's all right. I've got a little Alexa Bluetooth device that I can loan you. It works great
that.
In my 2007 Camry. I'm sure it'll be just fine.
Yes, yes. It's Alexa. Right. Don't make her mad.
All right.
Don't make her mad.
We've got our Fire TV cube underneath us, and she's just talking.
Hey.
Well, you know that's happening all over the place when people listen the podcast or the radio show.
We apologize, guys.
Well, I like the looks of this. You know, if I was in the market for something, if I didn't have the perfect car already, I would definitely be looking at the Tesla Model 3,
right.
All electric.
Probably in another 10 or 15 years, we'll be ready to update your 2007.
Any other takeaways on this particular device?
I think the other thing, like, is I've never been into cars.
Yeah.
Like I'll buy a car, but I'm really more into the inside of the car, like the cabin, what I can actually use tech inside the car. I've never been about the outside of the car. And I also have no clue what like a pound foot of torque means or really anything under the hood.
Power or all
that
stuff.
I know nothing about that. This is the first car that I was like intrigued to customize to my own liking, which I guess a lot of people will do if they're into cars. So I changed the upholstery, for example. I had the upholstery taken out and I ordered like red seats to match the red Tesla logo. It's silly.
It's not silly. It's beautiful.
I had this ceramic coating put on the outside of the car to protect, like, this is stuff I've never even heard of before, but I was like, let me just go all out.
Yeah. And I can see here as you're cleaning it, clearly it's working because I mean, it's got this sheen to it.
Yes.
It's,
yes. I do my thing.
Yeah.
The neighbors weren't expecting a gun show that day.
All right, we'll be sure to link to Andrew's Instagram from the show notes. This week on Geared Up, we are talking about our favorite devices of the year. That is number one, the Tesla Model 3. We'll be right back with number two, which is not really a device.
No,
but
technology nonetheless.
And a new way to use the device that you already possibly love.
There you go.
That's coming up next on Geared Up. Welcome back to Geared Up. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
It is time for the National Car Rental Story of the Week.
That's right. Geared Up is brought to you by National Car Rental. Go national. Go like a pro.
You can find Andrew's show, Technically Speaking, on the nationalcar.com control center or youtube.com/nationalcarrent.
That's right. That's the show where I tell you all about the best tech you should be taking with you when you're traveling, whether it's business travel, leisure travel. There's tech that can make your travel better. And that's what I focus on.
And this week's National Car Rental Story of the Week, the device we're going to be talking about, OS we're going to be talking about, actually plays right into that theme because my favorite feature of it makes it easier to travel. So we'll talk about that in a second. But first, the latest tech puts you in the driver's seat of your travel experience. National Car Rental's Emerald Club will keep you there.
Big thanks
to National Car Rental for sponsoring the show. Okay.
Tech number two for the show.
And by the way, yes, this week we are counting down our top three favorite technologies of the first half of 2018. Number two, iOS 12.
Yes. Now, this is cheating a little bit because iOS 12 is not going to be released until September of 2018, which is the second half, but we're in the beta.
That's right. Andrew and I are both using what's technically known as the iOS 12 preview.
That's right.
So most iPhone devices are going to be getting this later in the year. It'll also come on the yet-to-be-unveiled new iPhones.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's going to be iPhone Y, right? Isn't that what comes after iPhone X? Ooh. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Look at this guy.
iPhone 10. All right. I'm really killing it this time. Yes.
iPhone 11 or not. I mean, I don't know why it would be 10.
Exactly.
We had 10.
It's going to be the iPhone XS. You know.
No.
Yes, yes. It's going to be the XS. It's going to be like extra small is what it's going to be. All right. All right. Let's move on. Okay. So iOS 12,
yeah.
We've been testing it. There are a number of signature features on this, but I can tell you my number one favorite feature.
Okay.
I slacked you about this.
You did.
Last
what
week
is this? Okay.
To figure out if you were experiencing the same thing, and I think you are. The battery life is so much better, so much noticeably improved over the same iPhone running iOS 11
right.
for me. I went out with my daughter and my wife. We went garage sailing a couple Saturdays ago. And I was using my phone quite a bit because there were a few of the garage
right.
sales I really didn't want to go into. I just sat in the car and waited for them, and I was checking email and watching
YouTube
videos.
Well,
you
weren't like price comparison, like, okay.
Not at these. No, okay. it was too antique-y for me. I'm looking for, like, you know, gadgets. I want to go to the Microsoft or the Amazon exec, their garage sale where they're
right.
getting rid of the stuff that, you know, I really want. Anyway.
Pick up a new 360 or something.
Exactly. 360. I'm looking for an original Xbox, man. Come on. At any rate, I was sitting and, you know, I got back to the house and I'd been using it quite a lot. And I looked down and it was at 85% after probably,
wow.
I don't know, like what I felt, maybe this is an exaggeration, but I felt like it was a good 2 hours worth of use.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I wasn't using it all the time during
right.
that, but it felt like, you know, usually it would have been probably 60 at best after mm-hmm. that level of usage. So my number one favorite thing about iOS 12 is the much better battery life.
Interesting. That's good. I mean, yeah, battery life is one of those things where everybody wants more battery life. You know, it's the kind of thing where your phone hits 82% and you're starting to sweat a little bit. Like, where am I going to plug in? I'm getting low.
Yeah.
So, yeah, better battery life is also a surprise because we're in the beta, and usually the beta gives you terrible battery life, like atrocious battery life. So the fact that we're seeing this improvement now only means it should get even better as time goes on leading into September.
Of course, this is a big issue that Apple's been wrestling with, this whole issue of performance on older devices and the mm-hmm. fact that they were degrading the performance and
yep.
were exposed for doing that. So I think over time, if they can somewhat redeem themselves by coming out with better battery life on those older devices through the update to the new operating system, I think that's going to be something that can at
yeah.
least help their reputation. Number two thing that I love is all of the new do not disturb options.
Yes.
So the ability to say, okay, don't disturb for 1 hour or until tonight, or my favorite, until I leave this location or until the end of this event. So
yeah.
it'll check your calendar mm-hmm. and say, okay, Todd's got a meeting for the next hour and a half. Andrew's in this meeting for the next 30 minutes. Okay. Do not disturb. You just manually set it. Do not disturb for the remainder of the time
yeah.
on the calendar.
That's so good. Like, actually, my favorite feature kind of plays into that, but it's all the machine learning that appears on your home screen. So, for example, it might say, you know, do not disturb for this event, but it'll also say, I see, like, it sees I'm in my car moving. It knows I'm moving. It knows I'm headed to this appointment. It knows I'm not there yet. It knows, based on traffic, I may be late. Do you want to send a text to let so-and-so know, whoever invited you, that you're going to be late? Or do you want to place a phone call? To, like, all,
does
it's
it
just automatically
say those
doing
things,
this.
Or does it just say, do you want to send a text to this person?
No, it'll say that. Like, one other thing it had was, do you want to call so-and-so because it's their birthday?
Yes. Okay. So
like,
that saved
it's
me.
It's seeing.
Somebody on our team here at GeekWire had a birthday last week, and I was going to miss it. And
uh-oh.
I noticed it on the Siri suggestions mm-hmm. that this person had a birthday. And so I basically just screenshot it. It's a tech-savvy person. I just screenshotted it and sent it. Siri told me to wish you a happy birthday.
Right.
So,
but that's cool. Like, that is a practical use of machine learning. It's not about, here's this cool whiz-bang feature. It's actually improving your life. Like, that is where technology is best, I think. And so, to me, when it's like, hey, let this person know that you're going to be late when it's probably something you're thinking of, like you're driving, you're like, oh, I'm not going to be there. I need to let them know. I need to fumble for their number or find the email, but you're driving and it just surfaces that to you. Like, that's great.
It is great. And I will tell you, it's also a little bit eerie because there are times when I'll look in that suggestion area and I'll realize, oh, it knows that typically at this time of night, I text my wife and tell her I'm going to be late. And
oh,
so
interesting.
It's not saying, hey, tell your wife you're going to be late. It's saying, would you like to text
right.
your wife?
You
know, and right. so that
it knows the actions.
Exactly. It can tell what you're doing. And I think that's the downside. I think people are going to have to get accustomed to that apparent and very clear sign that your devices know all these things about you. I think we all know that they do.
Right.
But to see it in action and to I think there's some privacy issues that are going to be raised in the minds of people. Not that
I'm
it's
sure
a violation by any means, but.
But I think it's different when your device knows versus the company that makes the device
well,
knows.
Sure.
And like with Google, they know all the suggestions you get from Google are based on them parsing your data in their cloud. And arguably or obviously in many ways, their result of that is better than what you're going to get from what Apple does on device.
On device.
There's no way that your iPhone is going to be stronger or more powerful at crunching through all this data than Google's cloud servers, one of the best cloud servers in the world. But on the flip side, if it's your phone doing it and it's protected with a passcode and, you know, whether it's a thumbprint or your face ID, no one can get to that data but you. So it's more of an extension of you. Especially if you turn on, most people don't do this actually. Do you turn on the feature that says, after 10 attempts, completely erase my phone? If the
I don't,
passcode
no.
is entered 10 times, erase my phone.
No,
now, why don't you do that?
I'm afraid that I might accidentally do that.
What? It's 10 times. So, okay. So let me tell you why it won't do that, though. I think most people don't turn that on for that fear or because they have kids and they think
yeah,
their kids are going to.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know off the top of my head how many attempts it is. But after a few attempts, it says, okay, you're locked out for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, you can try again. Oh, wrong. Okay, now 15 minutes. Now an hour. So basically between time 1 and 10, it's like 12 hours. So you'd have to basically
Smart.
Be trying to get into your phone for 12 hours. And usually, I don't know why, you know, if it's in your possession, that would happen. So it's really more protecting you against people who have your phone or are trying to get into your data. So I think it's one of those smart things where after 12 hours, if people are trying to get in my phone 10 times, go ahead and just wipe it. Like it's obviously gone.
I think one of the signature features in iOS 12 was the first one that we did when we tried this on the show a few weeks ago. And that was the Memoji, which was
the
essentially
Memoji,
an emoji of yourself.
You've been using this daily?
No. This surprises me. I think it's one of those things where.
Elitist?
No, it's not elitist. It's not. It is to me more of a novelty. It's more of a novelty even than I expected it to be.
Okay.
I thought I would actually use this and have fun with it. And I tried it maybe one more time after you and I did it on the show. I think it's great technology. It's really interesting. But for people who missed this one, it's essentially the Animoji that Apple introduced
right.
with iOS 11,
correct?
Where you can have an animated character that almost exactly syncs to your voice as you're speaking, and you can send it as an iMessage and basically have a mm-hmm. – it's like – can you imagine what Walt Disney would think of this were he alive
right.
today? I mean,
that's
it's
true.
Really
wow.
incredible when you think about that level of AI
yeah.
replacing what they used to do for years in the mm-hmm. hand-drawn studios. But at any rate, that said, I feel like it's a cool novelty in search of an actual useful application.
Well, it depends who you are. Depends who you are.
Right.
I'm
a 45-year-old man.
I'm sure my son is going to be – and his friends are going to be exclusively talking in animo – you know what I mean? Like Memojis back and forth all over the place.
It's funny because the one person I sent it to was my buddy Carl down in California. And he said – I said, oh, man, I'm sorry. I probably should have explained. That's this new thing in iOS 12. And he said, oh, no worries. My son looked at it. And he said, it's hilarious. You know, his 8 or 9-year-old son
right.
at this point. Like, to your point, I think it's very generational.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Apple has to hit all the markets, all the generations, because you get someone 14, 15, 16 year old's first smartphone and they want that phone to get that, then they're probably going to stick with that.
The other thing that so far I've struggled with was one of the ones that I really was excited about, and that is the new app called Measure.
Measure. Okay. That's
so
right.
That
Measure.
Is, Measure. That is the app that
Almonds.
You can use to. People who will listen to the show every week are getting all of
you
these.
You need to listen
references.
All the time to be in on these jokes.
Yes. I got the app Measure and I put a stack of almonds on it. And okay. All right. So at any rate, this is the augmented reality app built into iOS 12 that allows you to essentially, in theory, replace a tape measure.
Okay.
So the ability to basically press a button, anchor a point in the real world on your screen, and then see how long it is.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it's pretty damn inaccurate in my
experience.
Really?
Inaccurate?
Yes. It's, well, let me say this. It's inconsistent.
Okay.
Many times I will try and measure something and it will just seem off. And then I'll maybe restart the app and it'll work again for a while. But I end up using this a lot. I've tried to use it quite a bit. You know, just buying furniture,
just
figuring
stuff
things
all
out.
The time. Look at
well,
you.
I mean, we've been doing lots of stuff around the office
okay.
where we're getting a new table and
oh,
all.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's very useful for your next IKEA run,
sure,
basically.
Sure.
And so I just have reverted back to the good old fashioned physical tape measure. To
okay.
be honest
oh,
with
God.
You,
I mean, you have to remember this is a beta.
It is. That's true. And I was going to mention that. I hope that they improve this.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm
that's,
sure it will.
That's what I'm
I mean,
saying.
The thing with this is iOS 12 being in beta, we're at beta 2 right now. Mm-hmm. There's usually 5 or 6 betas where every couple of weeks it improves more and more, leading up to the GM, Golden Master, which is what's actually, that's what it's called.
That should be like a rock band name.
I know.
Is there a rock band
I don't know
why
they call
Golden
it
Master?
That. I don't know. It's Microsoft.
No, it is a sort of like a Microsoft thing. It's because
yeah.
the DVD, or actually back in the day, the CD that they would send it out on would be gold.
Oh,
it would be the
that.
Master copy
I
once
didn't know
once
that.
Once it was the technically I believe the phrase was RTM, release
okay.
to manufacturing or release to manufacturers. That was the master gold disc. We're gonna have some
so Windows.
Yeah, basically
new Windows. Okay.
Yeah.
So the GM will be available at some point.
GM, to be clear.
Yeah,
GM.
The GM will be available at some point in September. For developers. And so between now and then, we're going to see refinements and improvements, you know, through the next 3 to 4 betas of iOS 12. So any inconsistencies or things that we see yep. wrong with it are not going to likely, hopefully, be there in September.
I hope so, because one of the things that I've struggled with is the connectivity between my AirPods and
really?
My iPhone on iOS 12.
So you can see a clear difference from prior to the beta. And
it's just not as consistent. It drops off. I run through periods where I have to repair the AirPods to the phone via Bluetooth using the case again, and then it's consistent
again.
That did
happen to me.
Yes.
That did happen to
me.
Yeah,
and it's like, and it's so obnoxious because it'll drop out and then drop in. And at any rate, okay, your last least or most favorite feature of iOS 12.
I'm actually a big fan of not just the group notifications, but the way you can manage notifications right on the home screen. So I've found, so group notifications is good because you can see everything in one spot, which is great. But there's apps that will send me notifications that I usually for years, once a day, maybe I'll just be like, oh, I never open it. I just kind of swipe it away and don't look at it again till the next day when it sends me a notification. Because I'm too lazy or I'm in the middle of something and I don't remember, let me go into settings and turn off that notification, that daily notification I've been getting for years that I never do with. And now from the home screen, I can just swipe over, hit manage and say, just give me a silent notification. I don't need an actual alert that like lights up my screen. Just throw it in my notification center and I'll see it when I see it. Like that to me is really good. And the other one, the last app that I want to give props to, Photos. I love Photos. I store all my photos there. I know some iOS people store their photos on like Amazon's cloud or Google Photos. I use Apple's Photos app and iCloud storage. So I pay for extra iCloud storage. And the For You section there is so good. Like it'll notice like my son graduated middle school last week. I took all these photos. Like my brother came to be there. My son's in the photos, etc. And it'll recognize everybody who's in the photos and say, do you want to share? And I can just share with one tap. And now currently, again, since we're in beta, if you're running the beta also, you get what you expect, which would be you share them all. It comes through iMessage. You tap on it. And on the other end, you get all these photos added. You can add them to your camera roll. If you're on iOS 11, what you get is a link to iCloud.com. Mm. You tap on it in iMessage. It takes you into the browser. Mm. And it's not what you expect it to be. But again, we're in beta. But once this rolls out, being able to just have people that are in the photos you've taken, it recognizes like an event. It recognizes that you're all in the same location. You can easily share. It's so nice. Like, because usually we take all these photos and we just scroll through them every now and then. And this gives you a way to kind of relive these moments and share them with people.
And it's another example of Apple trying to make iMessage a competitor to Facebook in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That is a quick look at our experience so far after a few weeks.
Yeah.
On iOS 12, the preview coming to iPhones all around the world later this fall. And that is technology number two on this week's Geared Up. We're going to be coming back with technology number three
among our favorite
tech of 2018 so far this year. We'll be right back on Geared Up. All right, welcome back to Geared Up. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
So, Andrew, I am wearing the Oculus Go headset. What's it like being in the room with me?
Very odd. All right. Very odd. Not different from any other time, though.
Exactly. Just the normal levels of awkwardness. All right, I'm going to take this off. As many of the folks know, we've been talking about our favorite technologies of the year so far on this episode of Geared Up. I got to say, the Oculus Go, even though I'd used VR in the past, this has completely changed the amount of use that VR at all gets in my house. So, in the past, either you would have had to have bought a high-end HTC Vive,
sure,
Oculus Rift, if you could have gotten your hands on a Microsoft HoloLens, augmented reality device, something high-end that tethered to your computer.
Yeah.
HoloLens does not, actually. It's a computer unto itself. But that's a whole other thing. Oculus Go is one of two new devices that is essentially a standalone VR headset, along with
no wires.
Right, Lenovo Mirage Solo. This is really a fabulous device, and it starts at $299, $300 for the 32-gigabyte version.
Yes.
And I will tell you, it's a whole other world. I think if Oculus had Steve Jobs pitching this device, it would be the equivalent of what the iPhone was for the smartphone. The Oculus Go would be that for the world of virtual reality. It would make it mainstream if they had a better pitch person behind it. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Better than Facebook? Better than Mark Zuckerberg?
Well, something is missing because I haven't heard many people talk about this since it was released. Whereas with the iPhone, when it was released, it reinvented the smartphone in many ways. Maybe this is too much of an incremental upgrade over
it.
I don't know. So here's how we're using it. Here's how I'm using it.
Tell me how this makes your list of top tech of 2018. That's what I want to know.
Couple things. Number one, the games using the built-in remote.
Okay. Which game specifically are you talking about?
I love the roller coaster shooting game.
Okay. And is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's a Let me figure out. Let me go into my VR world and I'll tell you what
Goodbye.
It is.
Here's why I dislike VR. Not that I'm against VR, but this right here becomes awkward when you go to someone's house and they're like, hey, show you my headset. And they're just like doing this. And you're like, I'm a guest. What am I supposed
to do?
Coaster
Combat, Andrew. Coaster Combat.
Coaster Combat.
Yeah, I can't remember. Sorry, I'm off in this other world.
It's fine. Right. Come back.
So Coaster Combat is one. Just the whole concept. There's also a great racing game.
Get back in there.
Yeah,
let me get back in there and tell us a racing game.
There's a great racing game. Let me find the name of it. Oh, yeah. VR Karts Sprint. Now, a lot of these are actual paid videos.
Okay.
So you have to buy, you know, they range from a couple bucks to 10 bucks. I've been trying guided meditation VR, Andrew.
What? You're sitting out like in the middle of a rainforest or something?
Yeah, they walk you through it. It's really, really good. And the cool thing is it's immersive. In fact, I'm going to do it right now while I'm talking to you here.
Just to de-stress.
Just to de-stress. Yes, absolutely. So the cool thing is it's immersive. So, you know, whereas with normal meditation or whatever, you know, you might be listening on your earphones, something like Headspace or something like that.
Right.
But you wouldn't be seeing it visually.
Of course.
And that is the cool thing about VR. Can you hear that?
I did.
Yeah.
It sounded very soothing.
So I'm going to go to the Costa del Sol. It's loading it up.
For those listening on the podcast and not watching right now, Todd has spent the past roughly 3 to 5 minutes inside
3 to 5 minutes
of his Oculus Go headset.
Now, the other thing that I absolutely love is, and it's the way that I primarily experience the NBA finals, is
what?
The Oculus,
Live?
Well, no, not live. It's recorded clips.
Okay.
So they would show LeBron James. They would show the highlights. Mm-hmm. I'm much more into highlights. I don't want to watch the entire
even the finals
3 hours of the no.
Even your favorite sport. What is your favorite sport? Football?
You know what my favorite sport is? You probably wouldn't even know this.
And, oh my god, and lacrosse.
No, I've tried bowling. This. I tried this sport on VR and it was not good.
Tennis.
Yes.
What? Tennis is your favorite sport?
You keep guessing like as a joke. The thing
I'm guessing like
true.
The most Caucasian sports I can think of. Tennis. There it
you
is.
Know, you know, I'm
is
actually
golf.
You know, I'm actually really good at tennis.
That's awesome. So, tennis is your favorite sport. Is your favorite sport to watch?
Yeah. Roger Federer is my man.
Would you watch tennis live on VR?
No, because it sucked. Because they had the camera. Well, the problem with tennis is just the fundamental problem with tennis is if you have the camera in an interesting spot for tennis, which would be the net, like right on the place where the ball kids run, right there. You'd just be turning your head back and forth the whole time. So basically they just put the VR camera behind, which is not that different. They put them behind one player at the back of the court. It's just so similar to what you're getting. I mean, there is a little bit more depth to it and you're a little bit closer than you would be on regular TV.
What if they put you on the side? So both players are on either side of you, but you're more in the crowd. So you don't have to keep turning your head.
But if you watch a tennis match, even folks who are like up in the second deck, they end up turning their head.
Oh, really?
To some extent. Okay. Obviously to a lesser extent, just given the physics, but yeah, and the geometry. Now, basketball, on the other hand, they put the camera up right behind the rim, which is a similar concept, but because of the way basketball is played, you're able to see the entire half court where the play is taking place. And so some of the shots, for me, it was a completely different experience than watching 2D basketball.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. I got a sense like I don't know how to describe
it. You probably get a better sense of how good these guys are at what they're doing. Because it looks like you're watching actual people do it.
Exactly. Right? And that's the thing. It's like, oh, wait. It's as if I'm watching LeBron at my local park, except, holy crap, that guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and it's so effortless. That's the thing that just blows me away. I mean, I'm speaking to things that NBA fans know, and you'd get a similar experience sitting courtside, but I don't think I've ever gotten to watch somebody of LeBron's caliber or Steph Curry.
Right up close. Absolutely.
And especially when you can just watch the highlights. Highly, highly recommended. And that's another specific app. I think it's NextVR.
Okay.
That allows you to do that. So I'm a big fan of the experiences. And I will tell you that for kids, the thing that I've found is, if you do want to have your kids use VR, you're worried about the disorientation and all that. Actually, if you just do static 360 images, it's just as powerful for them, not as disorienting. And they've got really cool images that you can get through like Facebook or other Oculus apps.
So they're just looking at a picture, basically a 360-degree still picture.
Exactly.
And they're just looking around.
Exactly. And it blows them away without causing all of the nausea and dizziness and stuff. So I will say the one bummer so far, battery life on the Oculus Go. You're lucky if you get 2 hours of straight use. I mean, it declines very quickly.
Yeah.
I can tell you're just not into this.
No. I own one. I own one of those.
But you haven't been doing it. Why haven't you been using it?
Well, like I mentioned in our last episode, for me, it's really, you know, I think the busier you are with work or whatever, at the end of the day, especially if you're married,
right,
you come home to your spouse or you come, like me, downstairs to your spouse. It's like, all right, I'm done with work. Now it's like between, let's just say, you know, 6 p.m. and whatever time you go to bed, let's just say 10, 11, whatever. You have 4 or 5 hours together to then say, you know, whatever else you're going to do, even if I'm playing a video game on Xbox, my wife can be next to me, you know, reading on her Kindle or whatever. And we can still like see each other, talk to each other. But there's a difference between that and like putting on a headset, which really does disconnect you, unless like you're both going back and forth. Look at this. Now look at that. It's just a little more. I find less opportunity to use it because of that, because I don't want to come across rude or whatever. When I do use it, I do find it to be cool. I do think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it is cool.
I'll often try it out earlier in the morning. I'm in my office I'm typically on my own and I'm just like, okay, what's new on the VR today? And I'll typically use it for maybe 15, 20 minutes tops. All right. So that is a rundown of a few of our favorite technologies of 2018. Coming up later in the year, Andrew, we're going to have the new iPhones.
That's right.
What else is going to be on
Google Pixel 3 is a big one. We're going to have the Note 9. These are all smartphones. But, I mean, the smartphone season is coming, and that's one of the biggest things of the year in this industry, in technology, is the smartphones.
All right. So that's a quick look ahead to what's to come. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
Thank you for listening to Geared Up. If you're not already, you should subscribe to Andrew's YouTube channel to see our live behind-the-scenes videos.
You can do that at youtube.com/gearlive. And, of course, you can also subscribe to Geared Up in your favorite podcast app. Just search for Geared Up, that's two words, not one, in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
If you like what we do, the best way to support Geared Up and GeekWire and Andrew's channel is to consider leaving us a rating and review. It really does help other people find the show. Geared Up is a GeekWire podcast. You can see more from us at geekwire.com, and Claire McGrain produces the show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Goodbye.